I was in Target minding my own business, and the next thing I know, I'm buying party hats, 12 bottles of Market Pantry Zesty Italian Dressing, and baby formula. Gosh darn it, I don't even have a baby. How'd they get me? Well, ready yourselves. Your favorite influencers, airlines, and that cute server you think likes you came back for round two. Everyone can catch these hands as I tell you more ways you're secretly tricked by companies. Hi-ya! Greetings, traveler! Say, what funny-looking clothes! Oh, where are my manners? Tis I, Grand Wizard Fezreville! Welcome to the Kingdom of Amazotopia! Before beginning your quest, wanna buy this frickin' dope sword for just $2.99? Nowadays, many video games use microtransactions, tiny charges which unlock in-game digital items to bolster game revenue. Microtransactions themselves aren't too bad. Sure, they're annoying, but they create a continuous stream of income to support game development, maintain servers, and fix bugs. However, because these charges seem inconsequential, they can quickly spiral out of control. One RuneScape fanatic spent an eye-watering $62,000 on in-game items in a single year. Yikes. That's nothing compared to a Transformers Earth Wars player who coughed up a staggering $150,000. Jeepers, how does someone end up spending so much? Well, here's the tricky part. Yoda 1, the developers behind the Transformers game, have a machine learning algorithm that can identify the players with the highest spending potential at a whopping 87% accuracy through their in-game behaviors. Knowing this information, Yoda 1 can unfairly target them with more opportunities to spend. On average, mobile gamers spend just over $24 a year, but the top 0.19% of spenders, termed whales, are the ones spending the real money. Their financial contributions make up almost half of the total money made from microtransactions. So in-game, they're the ones wearing the super premium cosmetics like Mr. Catch Me Smoochin' Your Girl Outside the Grand Exchange over here. Okay, bro, no need to flex so hard. Here, she's all yours, damn! Because I've grown up under our consumerist overlord Jeffrey Bezos' dictatorial regime, it's hard to believe that there aren't a bajillion copies of everything sitting on a warehouse shelf in an undisclosed location. But that's not always the case. Some companies make it deliberately harder to obtain their products. What? Why? Well, by releasing them in limited numbers, it generates more hype. Anyone who's ever tried buying a game console on release knows how frustrating it can be. When the Nintendo Wii launched back in 2006, Nintendo were producing less than 1.8 million units a month. That might sound like a lot, but game stores throughout the world were struggling to keep their shelves stocked. By keeping demand high, Nintendo created an exclusivity about owning a Wii. This made its appeal shoot up, at which point the company started producing more, eventually resulting in total sales topping an astonishing 100 million units. And it's not just gamers who are feeling it. Streetwear does it too. Fashion brand Supreme popularized the concept of the product drop by releasing limited edition products throughout the year. Diehard fans would scramble online or queue for hours to cop the latest limited edition drops, which released every Thursday at 11 a.m. Fashionistas habitually bought anything that came out, and the limited supply meant that demand on the resale market for anything Supreme guaranteed good returns. People were flipping ridiculous items like Supreme-branded bricks for $1,000 and fire extinguishers for $1,500. In the 1930s, baseball icon Babe Ruth became one of the first athletes to sign a brand deal. Fast forward to today, though, boxer George Foreman has made at least $250 million from endorsing grills, and LeBron James' lifetime Nike deal could be worth a dizzying $1 billion. Ay, Dios mío. On average, celebrity endorsements boost sales by a tidy 4%. That doesn't sound like much, but if you're a multi-billion dollar company like Nike, that's serious cabbage. However, recently, we've seen our favorite faces take on new roles as ambassadors and shareholders. Heard of a little thing called Prime? The beverage company is pushed by Logan Paul and KSI, but they only own 40% between them. The rest belongs to a merchandising company called Congo Brands, who do all the heavy work. But would it sell as well if Paul's and KSI's young fan bases knew over half of their money went to a company in Louisville, Kentucky? No. It's all about their influence. Still, Prime's way better than other sports drinks, right? Not really. It's about the same. It's pumped full of artificial sugars and underdosed in some of the key nutrients. It's all just clever marketing. Wait, my favorite celebs wouldn't deceive me, would they? Oh, buddy, this'll sting. Sure, not all celebs are money-hungry narcissists. However, some, well, some definitely are. Without a doubt, the worst have to be the Kardashians. They've taken money to promote some of the worst products I've ever seen. Ready? Diet lollipops, diet milkshakes, diet teas, Skims waist trainer, booty lift sneakers, hair vitamins, crypto scams, band tees, fake music festival. And a Pepsi commercial which trivialized the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, okay, I know. But be amazed, you do brand deals too. Yeah, I take sponsors. I've got no problem with that. What I don't like is telling impressionable fans they can achieve a physique that costs thousands of dollars in nutritionists, personal trainers, and surgeons by drinking tea that wrecks your stomach. It's irresponsible. Influencers have nothing without their fans. And if you thank them by shilling unhealthy products for a quick buck, you suck, and your fans deserve better. So there's this cute waitress at my local Olive Garden. Whenever I see her, it's like life's moving in slow motion. And I think she's got the hots for me, too. Every time I go in, she gives me free breadsticks and smiles a lot. Score! But one of my homies says that restaurants only give you free stuff because it encourages reciprocity from the customer. Basically, they do something generous, but it's only to get you to spend more. Wait, what? Say that basket of free bread you get at the start of a meal? Bread causes a spike in insulin, which may result in you ordering and eating more. It also delays you ordering your main course, meaning you're likely to order more drinks. And beverages are one of the most heavily marked up products in the restaurant, so they easily recoup any money they lost on the bread. Suddenly, you've spent way more money than you'd planned. The restaurant probably isn't losing any money from the bread anyway. Sure, it seems free, but it could easily be factored into the cost of other foods you order. I mean, when was the last time you looked at a bill and saw rent charges, gas bill, or paying for the chef's kid's swimming lessons? Oh god, he's right, I've been used! Oh well, plenty more fish in the sea. I heard there's a baddie at Cracker Barrel giving out free biscuits. What's up, beautiful? Wanna slather me in gravy? Yeah, didn't think so. You might remember how sites use dark patterns to force you to accept all of their tracking cookies. You've seen this before, right? Where the accept all button is more enticing than the reject button? And that's if there's a reject button at all. So you click accept all, but there's no Oreos, no Milanos, not even a little Debbie's Oatmeal Cream Pie! Wrong cookie, numbnuts. Whenever you visit a website, your browser sends the server a request and the webpage replies with a tiny text file it stores on your device. That's the cookie. They enable the website to collect information like browser type and settings and remember your login information to streamline your experience. Neato. But for every double stuff, there's a Belvita breakfast. Blah. Not all cookies are good cookies. Some allow third-party websites, meaning not you or the site you're on, to install files that silently stalk you across the entire internet. Whilst they can infect your device with malware or malicious code, hackers can exploit them to gain access to your web sessions and steal your information. And that's the problem. The double stuff and the yucky Belvitas are all mixed together in a cookie jar. If you hit accept all, and we've all done it, you don't really know what you're giving the company access to. What do you think? Is this loss of privacy just the way the cookie crumbles? Or should more be done to protect users? Last time I was in the grocery store, I couldn't believe how expensive everything is now. And as well as my wallet being lighter, I've noticed my cart getting lighter too. See, despite food prices going up, the amount of food you get for that price has fallen, on average, by 13%. That's because in order to dodge raising the price, some companies try and get away with selling you less of their product for the same price. This is called shrinkflation. Now, before we get all mad, is there a good reason? The companies say that although everything along the supply chain has got more expensive, they still want customers to enjoy their goods, even if that means giving them less for their money. Can anyone smell that? Smells like corporate poopy talk to me. Realistically, they're scared that if the price of their product increases, customers won't buy it. Instead, they disguise a crappier deal behind either the same price or a marginally increased one to protect their profit margins. And that sucks. Cadbury sold LGBTQ+ themed chocolate eggs at the same price as their regular chocolate eggs, even though the rainbow eggs contained an ounce less chocolate. So wait, they released a product specifically for this community just to rip them off? It's like stealing candy from a baby. Actually, some companies will literally steal from babies. Puracy baby shampoo used to be 64 fluid ounces, and now it's just 48 fluid ounces. Huh? Pretty sure babies haven't gotten smaller. Yep, it seems like every company is giving you less while making their pockets fatter. I bet the Subway CEO is kicking himself for marketing his sandwiches based on their size now. If my 6-inch sub shrank to a 4-incher, I'd be outraged. In this world, everything has a price. I'd say yours is $3.69. Joking. You're worth at least $4. But because everything has a price, there are subtle ways companies make their prices seem more attractive than they really are. Say I've got two pens. Pen A costs $2 and pen B costs $4. If I charged $1.99 for pen A and kept pen B at $4, only 18% of people would buy pen B. However, if pen A was $2 and pen B was $3.99, that number shoots up to a whopping 44%. By shrinking the largest number, it tricks buyers into thinking they're getting a better deal. But this also works in the old Uno reverse. Luxury goods are often sold with whole number prices like $40 instead of $39.99, so buyers associate them with superior quality. In fact, there are thousands of tricks when it comes to pricing goods. Many restaurants drop the currency symbol from their menus so diners don't create a mental association with spending money. But they also remove extra characters from the price so it looks more manageable. Here, nowadays, companies aren't just after your money, they want your time too. Big tech has dedicated years to figuring out the most effective ways to hijack our minds and make their products as irresistible and addictive as possible. And some of these methods are so deceptively simple you'd probably never notice. When Facebook first introduced a notification icon to alert users of activity, it was initially blue. But there was a glaring problem. Nobody was using the feature. So they switched it from blue to red, and suddenly there was a massive spike in user interaction. Surely it's not as straightforward as a color switch, right? Well, pretty much. Red is symbolic of alertness and danger, so when users see the notification, they're more likely to engage with it. When messaging service WhatsApp introduced their notification badge, user engagement shot up by over 100%. What's more, there's no way to change this setting without hacking or using third-party applications. Software developers could easily create a feature that allows you to change this yourself, but it's not in their best interest, so they don't.
Yeesh.
Kinda makes me feel like a dirty little guinea pig there putting blue or red lipstick on and waiting for a reaction. Have you ever gone to check your phone and 5 hours later you're still watching capybara videos?
You're so silly!
Damn, not again! It's easy to get frustrated with yourself for wasting all that time, but is it really your fault? See, in 2006, tech genius Asa Roskin developed a way to streamline user experiences on social media he called the endless scroll. At the time, users had to click between each individual page they were following in order to access different content. Endless scroll, on the other hand, curated a constant stream of easily accessible content without inconveniencing the user. However, big tech firms manipulated this to the extreme. When we move from post to post, our brains release a chemical called dopamine, creating a little neurological high. This rush keeps us scrolling and scrolling, looking for a big hit. And one hit leads to another, creating an addictive cycle, hooking users on the continuous flow of information. So big tech firms push the most addictive dopamine-producing content to keep users hooked for as long as possible. More engagement means more ads, which means more moolah. It's like the world's most powerful slot machine is sitting right there in your pocket. Every day, an absolutely horrifying 200,000 human lifetimes are spent scrolling. And experts are saying it's causing productivity loss, mental and physical health concerns, and sensory overload. Look, I don't want to echo your parents, but take breaks, go outside, touch some grass, find your happy place. Become the capybara. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel very meaningful and personal. They focus on high-quality, unique items that are often handmade or created by independent artists, so everything feels extra thoughtful. I found this custom star map that shows the night sky from any date and immediately thought, yep, that's the one. It's beautifully designed, completely customizable, and perfect for my girlfriend who's obsessed with stargazing. Uncommon Goods truly has something for everyone, from parents and teens to foodies, sports fans, book lovers, and gardeners. Plus, they donate $1 to a nonprofit of your choice with every purchase, already giving back over $3.1 million. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/beamazed. That's uncommongoods.com/beamazed for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I got a confession to make, but please don't judge me. Last Black Friday, I karate chopped someone's grandma and stole a Vitamix straight out of her cart. I know it's wrong, but it was the last one, and Papa likes his juice. However, companies know that limited time sales like these can send shoppers like me a little cray-cray, and they use it to their advantage. According to a 2019 report, 87% of Amazon's Black Friday deals on the most popular products like TVs, cameras, and fitness trackers were no cheaper than at other times of the year. Instead, they used the hype and fervor around the day to drive people into making bad decisions. But this isn't just Black Friday deals. It applies to all of Amazon's lightning and daily deals, too. These offers usher shoppers into making hasty purchases by restricting how long the so-called deal is available for. Some sites even go as far as smacking a big old ticking timer on the listing to urge customers to pay faster. Whilst there are times when timers make sense, like ticket releases, most of the time it unfairly pressures buyers into snap decisions without perspective. Darn, if I had that perspective, there's no way I'd have assaulted that poor old woman! Rip, Grandma. Dropping the price is one way companies trick you into spending more money, but so is giving you more stuff. That's confusing, but picture the scene. You've gone into your favorite store to buy a plain white shirt. Nothing fancy, nothing special. In front of you are two options. One t-shirt for $10, or two of those same t-shirts for $18. Which do you choose? I'll give you a second to lock in your answers. Ready? Surely two shirts for $18 is the better deal, right? Each shirt comes out at $9, which is cheaper than the $10 shirt. But you only wanted one shirt. You've spent $8 more than you needed to on something you don't need or want. These kinds of package deals catch you out by offering something that looks like a good deal, but it's all to make you spend more money. So next time you're eyeing up a spicy looking deal, ask yourself, do I really need the better deal, or should I just get what I came for? Fake sales aren't the only way online retailers artificially make their products more desirable. Oh, heck no. Let's face it, when buying anything online, you've got to see what others are saying before taking the plunge. But not everything you see online is trustworthy. Unless it's me, of course. Recently, a growing problem with large online retailers such as Amazon and Wish are the swaths of fake reviews littering product pages, making it hard to know if something is actually any good or not. Seriously, as many as 61% of reviews on electrical goods are from fake or botted accounts. What? Easy, Tiger, your boy got enough trust issues, okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Even the real reviews can be grossly misleading. A recent batch of reviews for Facebook's portal device were written by the Facebook employees who made it. Of course they're going to hype it up. You can actually join Facebook groups that offer cashback or voucher incentives for leaving 5-star reviews on certain products without you needing to have bought them. You can actually join Facebook groups that offer cashback or voucher incentives for leaving 5-star reviews on certain products without you needing to even have bought them. Amazon and Wish could limit reviews to customers who've definitely bought the products, but they don't, because this way old Jeffy B can dig his hands into your pockets a little easier. What a turd. Deep down, we all want social approval. It's human nature to want to feel wanted. Back in 2007, engineer Justin Rosenstein knew this all too well when he developed the like button for Facebook so users could share a little virtual positivity. Now, remember that dopamine chemical I mentioned earlier? Well, people liking your posts or updates also gives you that little hit. But the powers that be at Facebook realized they could utilize this to target you when you're at your most vulnerable. Say you've just changed your profile picture and you're feeling a bit insecure about it. Facebook knows you're vulnerable, so it gives it a little bump in your friends' news feeds. Then every time a friend likes or comments, Facebook sends you a push notification pulling you right back in. They know exactly when to pull the strings and get all your attention. Sure, a free little boost is nice, but not at the expense of exploiting your vulnerabilities for their gains. Nowadays, social media likes are treated as a kind of social currency. The more you get, the more important or influential you come across. If you make a post that doesn't get liked as highly as you'd want it, it can be debilitating to your self-worth, making you more dependent on that social approval. They're like a horrible little puppet master. So remember, whilst we all like having well-received social media posts, nothing beats showing love to the homies IRL. So, social media is bad for your head. Big whoop, tell me something I don't know. Okay, you asked for it. Your social media likes are being harvested so companies can discover personal private traits about you. What? That click, follow, or like you sent to show appreciation to something you enjoyed can reveal your sexual orientation, political leanings, religion, intelligence, and emotional stability. And the data subset for this is shocking. If you like The Daily Show, Morgan Freeman's voice, and, shockingly, curly fries, I've got good news for you. You're a clever cookie. But if you like Harley Davidson's and Bret Michaels, sorry, buddy, I'll get you some crayons. Or at least that's what one study by the University of Cambridge found. Shockingly, the same study predicted certain traits for a large subset of the population with an outrageous 95% accuracy. But sensitive information you might not want to share, like sexual orientation, is being collected and sold to companies, governments, and potential employers, all because you frivolously liked a few Kathy Griffin posts. Look, my life on the D-list was seminal television in the mid to late 2000s, and I will die on this hill. Is anything sadder than buying yourself a little gifty, like some new sneaks, just to find out you don't really like how they look? Hey, at least I've got 30 days to return them. There's no rush. Funnily enough, generous return policies like these often work in the company's favor. The longer my little giftie sits in the corner, the more likely I am to become attached to it. I'm also much more likely to trust the company and buy from them again. Don't believe me? U.S. food retailer Zappos found that customers with the highest return rates were also the most valuable to their business. So they offered an unprecedented 365-day returns policy. And if you buy on February 29th on a leap year, this is extended up to 4 years until the next leap year. Yoinks, that's crazy. Zappos found that by focusing on customer retention rather than maximizing initial sale opportunities, customers are far more likely to show loyalty and come back for repeated purchases. Huh. So both parties are happy? Finally, something worth celebrating. This is the type of trickery I don't mind. If you consume any kind of online media, you'll have been bombarded in recent years by subscription services wanting a piece of your cheddar. These companies are very clever at taking your money for something that most of the time is pretty bad value. Firstly, they promote their subscriptions everywhere from podcasts to social media sites to news providers, and with low-cost entry deals for 50% off or the first month free, eventually, you're exposed so much to it that you break and decide to try it out. Then, once you're in, the effort of getting out just doesn't seem worth it. How is canceling my $8 unused Audible subscription going to make my life any better? Maybe I'll get into audiobooks again soon. Sounds familiar, right?
When you break it down, the discrepancy between cost and use of these services is terrible. But they're just so convenient. Why go to the shop to buy groceries when HelloFresh can deliver expensive meals to my door? That's the kicker. It's not about giving you something amazing or even good. It just has to be barely attractive enough to stop you from canceling. Gym memberships have massively high levels of inertia. People paying for a membership and not actually going. Guilty. Most gym goers who pay over $70 a month pay 70% more than they would pay under a pay-as-you-go contract. But we kid ourselves that we will go, and that outweighs the financial obligation. Be right back, canceling all my subscriptions. Or maybe I'll just leave them another month. In the UK, branded moisturizers targeted at men were found to be almost 3 times costlier than the female equivalent. Maybe that's why British men look so haggard. The point is, companies reinforce negative gender stereotypes, whether that's females' most valuable assets being their looks or men being sissy for looking after themselves, to justify higher costs. It's so out of hand, the UK government banned commercials showing harmful gender stereotypes like men not changing nappies or women being bad drivers. And if you're thinking the blue-haired liberal snowflakes win again, you don't appreciate how harmful this can be. Ads aren't just how companies try to sell us products. They reflect societal values and help us see our places in it. And most of the harmful stereotypes they perpetuate aren't even true. Take women being bad drivers. Men are 3 times more likely to crash, but you wouldn't see that in an ad, would you? Traveling really is one of life's greatest pleasures, but whether you're a city breaker or a beach bum, you've probably noticed travel companies hike their prices up just for looking at their services. Picture the scene. You've decided on your destination, searched for flights, looked for a hotel, then gone back to book your flights, and boom! Within the space of 5 minutes, your very affordable flights are suddenly much more expensive. Why a yada? Flight operators use a revenue management system which tracks sales and demand on each individual flight, and it's super sensitive to even the slightest website traffic. So as more people show interest in a flight, the price goes up. However, if it goes up so much that people aren't willing to pay and flights stop selling, the prices begin to drop again. But the success of the system is about finding the right seat for the right customer at the right time. That means passengers on a flight have likely all paid different prices for seats that are pretty much the same. Now, it's not just happening on flights. Popular travel company Airbnb have also started raising their prices incrementally with each visit. They allow independent hosts to offer guests somewhere to stay instead of an expensive hotel. But the extra revenue made from bumping up the price doesn't get passed on to the hosts. Oh no. It goes straight into the company coffers. Looks like my dream of spending 2 weeks in Guam next summer are over. It's another staycay at Aunt Mimi's in Newark, New Jersey for me. No, Mimi, no kisses, please! Mama always said, don't eat yellow snow. It's one of the top 2 pieces of advice she ever gave me. The other is that real estate agents are sleazy little so-and-sos. Back in 2016, real estate agents in the UK were caught engaging in a practice known as portal juggling. This simple scheme entails delisting and relisting a house so the date of the listing is updated, giving the impression that the place is fresh to the market. Then along comes an innocent little buyer who sees a chance to jump at a brand new listing and beat the curve of interest. But little do they know that house has actually been unsellable for a number of years. By delisting and relisting the property with minor differences, real estate agents can manipulate the market into making the product seem far more desirable than it actually is. This was enough for UK property trade regulators to deem portal juggling as fraud, making it a serious crime. Yikes. You bet your bottom dollar that some of those grubby, greedy little realtors are still trying their luck, though. So if you suspect anything, report it. Do you know, I spent all year trying to get summer body ready, just to rock up to the beach looking like an uncooked chicken. Oh, it turns out all these sugar-free health foods I've been buying aren't actually good for me. In fact, they're not even sugar-free. By law, they can contain up to 0.5 grams of sugar. However, that's not the problem. In order to compensate for the lack of sugar, they often have obscenely high levels of fat, making them just as unhealthy, if not more so. Many of these products are also packed full of sugar substitutes, which, despite being touted as a healthier option, are arguably worse than sugar. Zero-calorie sweeteners greatly increase the risk of obesity and type 2 diabetes, and they also have a negative impact on metabolism, appetite, and gut bacteria. The fact is, huge companies know we're getting more health conscious, and they're trying to capitalize. The health and wellness food market is estimated at a staggering $841 billion. Whew, that's a lot of carrots. So if you're trying to get that summer bod, remember everything's okay in moderation. Happiness is a healthy relationship with food, not the scales. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.